This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 465 in the series. Yes, 465. This shares my conversation with Town Council Chair Tom Mercer. It's one of a series of conversations meant to provide a recap of the prior Town Council meeting, akin to one of the many sports post-game analysis broadcasts we're all familiar with here in New England. This would be a discussion focused on the Franklin Town Council meeting. Okay, what just happened? What does it mean for Franklin residents and taxpayers? The show notes include links to the meeting agenda and associated documents. Our conversation runs around 28 minutes, so let's listen into this quarterbacking session with Tom Mercer. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, WFPR.FM, anywhere on the internet and on the local Franklin area dial at 102.9. Here for another town council quarterbacking session with our town council chair, Tom Mercer. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you today?
Not bad at all. I've had some sleep, but hopefully you had enough.
Oh, well, I had a little.
You had a little.
It was a lengthy meeting, for
yes.
Sure.
So to that end, and for the reminder for the folks, you know, in this quarterbacking session, we're attempting to do, okay, what just happened? And what does it mean for the Franklin residents and taxpayers? And in particular, because last night was an almost four-hour session, we won't take that long going through this listing this morning. So
I promise you we won't.
We'll cover all the key points anyway. Mm-hmm. And the first one up, Community Preservation Committee. The nominees were ratified and they'll start to work. That's a good milestone.
Yes, that is a real good milestone. It's something we wanted to get in place relatively quickly, and we're able to do that. We had over 30 people that came forward, and they were all interviewed. And then Jamie brought really four at large, because there are five that come from committees, and those committees voted to recommend to Jamie a nominee.
Right.
So those five people, along with the four at large, the five: Chris Feely, Housing Authority; Joe Halligan, Planning Board; Phyllis Malcolm, Historical; Wayne Sumerian, Recreation; and Jeff Livingstone from Conservation. Those were voted by their boards to recommend to Jamie, and they were ratified by the council unanimously last night. And then there were four at large recommendations or nominees from the town administrator: Mike Giardino, Lisa Oxford, Dave McNeil, Monique Doyle. And those four were ratified unanimously by the council as well. And again, these are in the first two at large, Mike Giardino, Lisa Oxford, those are 2-year appointments. The other two are 1-year appointments. All of the committee appointments are 1-year appointments. And because of the timing of us doing this, the appointments would be up in June to keep all of our annual appointments on the same cycle. So these will actually take effect. The time frame will take effect of June 30th. So they'll get started immediately, but they'll, you know, the 1-year terms will be a year and 4 months.
Yeah, and I think for people who have been listening, CPA, Community Preservation Act, was passed in November. A clear majority of the residents approved this. It'll be a good thing going forward. And now we've got a rather diverse and yet experienced in new folks. It's a good mix as well.
Yes,
to kick this off and to get started. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I was very pleased with, and I think the entire council was as well, with the nominees that Jamie brought forward. So we'll get them off and running.
Yep. And then those that didn't make it, it sounds like some of those are certainly going to be candidates for other positions as they open up over time as well. So we've got now another, bench to draw from as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. Good. And then moving along, there was a special legislative process that went in so that now Dacey's Market will get a particular liquor license.
Yes, and this was a license that we had to request special legislation from the state because we did not have one available at the time. So we did request through our legislative team to get this special license. They approved it. It then comes back to the council, which is what happened last night. We had a public hearing on it, and we supported this Mad Deli doing businesses, Dacey's Market and Deli out on Lincoln Street. And they will now have a liquor license. The unique thing about this license is that it is not transferable. So therefore, if something were to happen here, this license would go away. So it wouldn't be added to the quantity of licenses that we currently have on the books.
Right. So that when somebody else closes in the meantime, you know, that license then drops into the pool and somebody else can grab it. This is not part of that pool concept.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Good. So hopefully folks will take advantage of that. And then since it's a new business, now expanding business to that extent, hopefully that'll help them survive in these trying times.
For sure. So.
And then moving along, a preview of something we'll be and I know Town Administrator Jamie Helen has been talking of for a bit. Obviously others have, but Complete Streets got an overview and that'll come back to be a more formal discussion around a policy. And I think from a resident perspective, it's a policy, it's not a bylaw. But then that enhances our standing from a state perspective in terms of some grant opportunities and particular funding opportunities, et cetera, et cetera.
Correct. And really the complete street is one, you know, that provides safe access to all modes of transportation, be it walking, biking, transit vehicles for all ages and abilities. So that's the kind of the short summary of what a complete street is. And what our residents need to understand is this is just an opportunity for us. It's something that we would certainly like to do. The state likes us to look to join the Complete Street program. The majority of the town, cities and towns in the state are part of it. And it just provides an opportunity for us to apply for more grants and to get closer to the top of the list on some of those grants. Now, right. This in no way would it mandate that we put bike paths and sidewalks on every street. That's not what this is. This is something that we would review as we redo a street. Do we want to put a bike? And it's not necessarily, do you have to put in a bike path? It might just be a case of putting some paintings on the street where that it signifies that there's bikes that should travel on this side of the street.
Yeah, an awareness piece. Yeah.
Exactly. So this would just be guidelines. We would look at each and every street as we redo them, as to what, if anything, we want to do. And we will always have the ability to say, no, I don't think we want to do anything on this street.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and for those residents, as we think about places around where we do travel clothing, we cover a bunch of, it's what, over 200 miles of local streets, but we also have some state roads like 140 and 495 to go through. We also have the transit line, so the commuter rail, et cetera. And at least it now, as a policy, the key term there, provides us with a focal point around how do we approach transportation? Do we make it accessible and easy? And again, to your point, we're not forced to do one or the other, but at least there's a thought approach in terms of how we get into each revision of a street proposal.
Exactly. And this, again, the administration now will go back and put together some sort of policy. It'll come back to the council for a discussion
and formal then approval.
Formal approval to get it onto the books as that puts us in the qualifying category as we move forward applying for road grants and so forth.
Yeah, because I think you still need to make the policy, get it approved, and then we have to apply to the state saying, oh, by the way, we've done this, can we belong?
Exactly.
So yeah. The process has started, and stay tuned.
Yeah.
Other piece coming out of last night, certainly it was a subcommittee, ad hoc committee specifically, that did the town administrator evaluation. And I think from my point of view, two things come out of that. One, Jamie, under the circumstances, has done well. And if we think about what we did during the pandemic, there was an awful lot of good, not everything happened, but an awful lot of good stuff did happen. And then I think the evaluation process itself, the subcommittee is going to need to look at that, because to a certain extent, it either constricted you or didn't give you enough leeway to do what you needed to do in terms of evaluation.
And that's correct. In the current contract with Jamie, it's very descriptive and as to how he is evaluated. And obviously during this contract, we need to stay within the confines of that contract, which is what we did. And but as we move forward, there were things that came out of the subcommittee that we would like to add to the annual review that we do of the town administrator. But overall, the committee was unanimously supportive of a great job that's been done by Jamie. It's certainly not an easy time. I don't think any of us signed up for the last year and a half. Certainly, I can tell you.
Wasn't on anybody's radar to begin with, really.
No, it certainly wasn't. I think he's done an amazing job of stepping to the plate and getting so many of our goals accomplished, even with the constrictions that were in place because of COVID.
Sure.
I look at many things that we had first this year. Whoever thought that we'd be doing a budget hearing on the high school football field? I know. Yep. I bring that up every once in a while, but it's something that sticks in the back of my mind saying, who would have ever thought? But
right.
We pulled that off with the help of Franklin TV and the administration and the school department, everybody pitching in to get the goal, which completed, which is, which was getting a public hearing on the town budget. And we're able to do that.
Constraints, and everybody was socially distanced. We had enough space to do that.
But those are the kinds of things that were kind of outside the box. And, Jamie really did a fine job of completing the goals that we had put in place, and the council approved the or accepted the subcommittee's report, and that becomes a public record. It also goes into Jamie's files. So mm-hmm.
from a personnel perspective.
Right.
Should he need another job? Although, as he indicated yesterday, he really doesn't want another one. He wants this one.
No, and I don't want him going anyway, certainly in my book. So,
not anytime soon.
No, for sure. So.
Yeah. And you did authorize, apparently the fire department found a good deal on a couple of trucks.
Yes, they did. And compliments to the fire chief as well as his administrative team who were out there searching as they always do when the time comes that we need to bring in some new equipment. And they were talking to some of the vendors. And all of a sudden, they found a deal that was, to coin a phrase that was used by many counselors last night, this is a no-brainer.
I was going to say a fire sale, but that would be another pun.
Yes, it would. But it was definitely a good deal. We have two engines that will be coming offline, a 2000. In a 2007 that we've been spending many thousands of dollars in repairs on an annual basis. And the ROI on this is just, is certainly short term. We're bringing in these 2019 engines. They'll be coming online in the next few months, and we'll be pulling off two of the older trucks and then declaring them surplus. And then the town goes about looking to see how best way to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in terms of the shuffling of the coins, there's two frontline trucks that are going to now move to reserve. The two reserves trucks, the 2000 and 2007, will go surplus, and two new trucks will come in to help us on the front line. So it's kind of a shuffling.
Yes, it is.
Yep. And then it was another item, more for legislation, and it's coming back for a second reading because it's a bylaw adjustment to update the stop sign location. I remember this from many years ago, but it dropped off the radar, and now we're catching up to it again.
Exactly. And these are the kinds of things that we're trying to do a little better job on, and by keeping up with these things that require council consideration and council votes. So this is a case of just bringing up and getting the council to approve or ratify that these stop signs, that some of the stop signs, new stop signs, were put in place over the last few years. So that's basically what we did last night. And you know, the onus as to where a stop sign gets put is something that is reviewed by a team of our administration. You know, it starts with the police department, and the safety department of the police department goes out and reviews the area to see if there's truly a need. Then the DPW gets involved, the engineers get involved, and then ultimately the town administrator gets involved, and then it's brought to the council for approval.
Right. And I think the takeaways, this is the defined process. Clearly that piece still works. The actual paperwork to acknowledge on the bylaw side that some of the signs had been added over time, because yes, we're still growing. We've had developments here and there. There have been specific adjustments where, because of whether the sight lines and or accident incidents, we needed to make some changes. So those changes are now actually getting caught up into, quote, the master list. Which, on the one hand, people will say, well, really, does it take a bylaw to keep a stop sign listing? That's a separate story. Yes. For the time being, it is required, and at least it's getting caught up.
Exactly. And I applaud the efforts of the administration. And these are the kinds of things during these difficult last year and a half. These are some of the things that we're doing a really good job of. Our administration team is really, and we have one of the finest around. I said it last night, and I'll continue to say it. We have an administrative team that I'll match up against any city or town or state. They just do a fantastic job of, and these are the little things that we're catching up on, and we're bringing some of our bylaws and our resolutions up to date. And moving forward.
And speaking of bringing bylaws up to date, the next to the last item, at least from my short list, was the second part of the Stormwater Article 1, 2, and 3, where the bylaws effectively were done, 15 something years ago. And because of the MS4 permit changes, a review indicated that there was some terminology differences that we needed to catch up to. So those had a first reading in January. The second reading was last night. The conversation still kind of deviated a little bit, if you will, which is why you ended up having a longer discussion. But it's separate from the stormwater utility fee, which is still on a future discussion path.
And that's exactly right. The conversation went much longer than I believe it needed to, because really all we were doing last night was cleaning up the verbiage in our bylaws that the MS4 permit from the EPA and DPE require. So it truly, the three amendments were just cleaning up as to how you get rid of things on a site. And it was just verbiage. The confusion came in because people got hung up on the utility piece, and is this part of the utility piece? And it absolutely was not, and is not. These three articles were just a cleanup of our bylaw so that we conform with the MS4 permit that we have to conform with. Mm-hmm. And the utility is something totally separate. The utility, we put a utility in place last fall with no dollar number next to it. And that discussion is coming in the future. It'll probably come up next at budget time when we look at how we deal with the expenses incurred by this MS4 permit. The money has to come from somewhere, and it'll be up to the council to decide where it does come from. But those fees, we will have to pay. So whether they come from a stormwater fee or whether they come from the general fund, which could be, you'd have to be taking the money from somewhere, whether it be fire, police, DPW, library, senior center, schools. Unfortunately, the bill has to be paid, and we have to figure out the best way to do that. And that, again, is a discussion that will come before the council in the future, but had nothing to do with the three bylaw amendments that were basically cleanup pieces last night.
Technical cleanup. To close out, and one thing we didn't talk about, we should at least cover at least a little bit, is acknowledge that and to the prior conversation around the town administrator and the work he's done, he's prepared the town to deliver vaccine. Unfortunately, because of the governor's decisions and the overall supply situation, we in the town cannot deliver vaccine to our residents. So we'll be at the mercy, if you will, of the state distribution system. And I know the 65 plus have been looking heavily this morning. The state website's been having some troubles, et cetera. So it's unfortunate, but the other good piece is at least it's opening. And, you know, it's just going to be a matter of time. You know, we've got what they talk of 1 million more people that are now eligible, and we're only getting 100,000 a week. So Do the math. It's just be patient. It's going to come.
It is going to come. And, I was very happy to see that the governor opened up the 65 and over now. And but I was... I do understand, disappointed, but I do understand the reasoning why he's backed off on the local distribution. I thought Franklin did a wonderful job of being prepared to do for a local clinic or for multiple local clinics. Mm-hmm. We combined with four other towns and we did our first responders. We had four separate clinics for those, and they went off without a hitch. And we've been ordering our vaccine as we were led to believe. Exactly. And, we've been waiting, 2.5 to 3 weeks now, mm-hmm. For our first 100 doses. Then we were supposed to get an additional 200. So we were waiting for the 300 doses. And then last night or yesterday afternoon, the governor decided that he was going to pull the local clinics, or at least put them temporarily on hold.
Right.
And because of the Gillettes and the Fenway Parks and the Springfield site that are set up on a much larger scale and able to do it. And our community is so close to Gillette that, it didn't make sense. And as much as I'm disappointed, I do understand.
Right.
But now let's get it open and let's get the vaccine in the arms. I know my wife's at home trying to get us appointments. So
mm-hmm. Likewise, we're in the same boat.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Yep. Yes, indeed. Well, thank you for your time. I think, as opposed to those who did sit through the almost 4-hour meeting last night, like you and I did, we at least have given them kind of what the 25 minute or so version.
Absolutely.
Which achieves the purpose of what we're looking to do. Give them the short story. So.
I appreciate the opportunity, Steve, to do these quarterbacking sessions, because as you just alluded to, condensing and giving just a brief summary of what was in last night's case was a 4-hour meeting in 25 minutes or a half an hour. Mm-hmm. It at least gives an opportunity to the residents to get a quick summary of what was discussed at our meeting. And if they would like to dig deeper into any portion of that, I know Franklin Matters and I know the town website has the full meeting available if they would so choose to dig in a little deeper on any one of the subjects.
Yep. Yeah. Full docs links are available. The recordings obviously will be available as well. And then they can certainly reach out to you, to Jamie, to other counselors and further pursue whatever's necessary to make sure we're all aware of what's going on. So
exactly.
Well, thank you.
And thank you. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks, indeed.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.